and you'll search through every face without.
LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Warning. Warning. Spankwagon Radio is now on the air.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Good morning, friends of television land.
Attention you out there in radio land.
Good morning. WPIX, August 8th, TGIF day. The time is 3:30 to 7, and this is Channel 7.
Good morning.
This is television station WORTV, New York.
Good morning, Starshine. Stay tuned now for our national anthem.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am hoarse as fucking hell, but it's Friday night. Will someone with a voice tell me what this means? I did it to you too, so I don't feel stupid.
Wait a minute. I can't hear.
You can't hear shit?
I can't hear myself.
I'm sorry.
Hello? No. Okay.
Can you hear yourself now?
Yeah, I can hear myself.
You can hear yourself now.
Oh. Oh,
Jesus. Whoa. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday night.
It's time for Spankwagon Radio, baby.
Thank you. I'm Horace. Murphy was doing something over there. I see him in the chat room. Hello, worlding. That's always good. Sitting next to me is the ever black decaf. Sitting across from me, the ever confused.
My computer's broken again.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Your tampon.
So that's how how we know this is scrappy, because I'm the only one with a shitty ass computer.
Your computer is shitty.
It works fine for me.
The problems are between the chair and the keyboard.
It's an error 18.
It's an error 18.
Error 18.
User malfunction.
Yes.
No. It's not me. It's not really me. It's not me. Fuck you guys. I don't see one of you guys trying to come over here and fucking.
That's because we're running a show in our seat.
My mic stand's broken. My computer's broken. Everything's broken.
It looks like it's holding a mic just fine.
It needs to be short like me.
I don't know. It's in front of your mouth. What more do you want from a microphone?
Well, you know.
I'm sure that option exists out there. We'll go into details later. Murph, you're not talking.
Oh, it's because the game day cast is going. Sorry.
The what?
Dodgers in San Diego.
Oh, so you're going to watch baseball tonight?
No. I just happen to have it up, and I'm just watching the first couple of pitches. That's all.
Cool.
I guess, like I said, I was going to talk about a certain something.
Yeah, see, I was going to do an introduction saying, and now a very special moment from a colored person.
Okay, I'm about to try it again.
Okay. Well, the thing is, today, I'm kind of a mixed feeling. I'm trying to be, happy and upbeat or whatever, but of course, as you guys know, Carla went to Summerlin. Mm-hmm. And so today was the last day of me working with her.
Oh.
And so it's kind of like I'm really, really sad. And this is my message I want to kind of deliver is about friendship and how important it is to have friends and how good friends are. And it's like, we worked at Las Vegas, together at that library. Then we came to this one. So it's really, really hard not being, knowing that, you think of all the good times and everything you have with this, share with people. And, that's the thing. It's like, to me, today I was just like, she's gone. But I sit back and I think about all the good friends I have. And there's nothing better than a good friend. And, and sometimes it's going to be struggles. It's going to be debates. It's going to be, situations where, you don't agree with one another. But the most important thing is that, you have love for that person. And sometimes, you just got to put things to the side and really just focus on, the good things. And so it's kind of like I was kind of down, really down today because, I'm losing, almost like a sister, our best friend, because we always went to lunch together. Well, like you saw us the other day. And right. It's really hard because it's going to be a big change. And I'd say anybody's lucky to work with a person that's a real good friend because it makes the day better. And, sometimes you just got to, I don't know. But, like, I like Fridays. Like, I love coming down here and being with you guys. It's like I know no place I'd rather be. You know, when I text you and I said I was going to, you know, I need to talk before the show, and then you said you're not leaving the show, are you? Of course, I'm like the total fucking opposite. I said I would never leave the show because, it's like nothing's better than coming here on a Friday night and being with you guys, you know, no matter what. You know, through thick and thin, you know, so... You know, some days we got to take on Goliath and beat him.
Right. You just said Carlos leaving because she's the only person whiter than you are.
That is true, too.
Actually, I figured it was because she's the editor for his next book, and now he can't get the more instant feedback.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, the perks comes with friendship. That's the whole point of the friendship. So the perks come with it. So I just want to say that if you were disappointed in somebody right now, give him a hug, because you never know when that person may get ran over on I-15. Okay, that's all I got to say.
What? There was a hit and run today.
What? Wait.
And speaking of that.
Hug your friend, because they're going to die tomorrow.
What's the word? What is it called? When you go into the next point of view?
Segway?
Yeah, it's a segue. Go on, Scrap.
All right. You drew a picture.
A computer.
You mentioned
the segue.
Yes,
it's a burning computer. You caught that.
You missed the segue. It's a segue to your story.
You drew it on the back of the release form.
Because I'm pissed at my computer.
It's a segue to your story.
There was a hit and run today.
There we go.
I don't know anything else about it, but it does. It brings me to something. No, I swear to God. We are, did you guys know, for 2007, and I fucking dropped it behind the damn table. Hold on, I'll get it.
Jesus Christ.
What the hell? This is a stall moment.
Okay, in the year 2007, and I think in the year 2006 too, Nevada was rated number one most dangerous state.
Duh.
I didn't know that.
You didn't?
I did not know that.
And
until,
why?
But I have the whole list here for 2007, most dangerous state.
Well, what's the first five?
Nevada, New Mexico.
New Mexico?
New Mexico.
Albuquerque's a shithole, dude. Oh, yeah.
Arizona, Maryland, and Tennessee.
Wait. So of those first five, how many are...
Washington, D.C.
How many are... well, D.C.
This year, Virginia's probably number seven. Yeah.
You want to know the safest state?
Well, sure. Hold on.
Wait. I got a quick question on that since we're diving into news so early. Well, if you notice, how many of those were border states or southern, southwestern American states?
I know. At work today, I was like, that's because of, never mind, I won't say it, but I think we all got the point. The safest state is North Dakota.
North Dakota has like 14 people.
North Dakota is the safest state.
Yeah, you know why?
The last five is North Dakota, Vermont for 49, Maine for 48, New Hampshire, because it's like a freaking dot. At Wyoming and South Dakota.
Yeah, all these places, either it's a bedroom community.
Iowa's number 43.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's because only 2 million people are there. We have right now in the valley, in the Vegas Valley, more people than the state of Iowa.
Everyone's so far apart, you can't shoot another. You can't have a shooting range of another person.
Exactly. You're like, I'm going to shoot you. Clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop. They'll catch up eventually. You see these Massey Ferguson tractors just cruising down the fucking street.
Did you say Massey Ferguson?
It's a fucking brand.
I know it's a brand, but
okay. So you guys knew
why
that?
Didn't you use a brand that people outside of Iowa would have recognized, like John Deere or
that's what I'm saying.
Caterpillar or something, you know, those of us who didn't grow up milking a cow would guess?
Because obscurity breeds humor. Someone's going, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, you and three other people who know what that is. The rest of us are going... What?
What?
He was on a roll, and then he lost me when he went out with some brand. It's like, you know, there's nothing better than taking a cookie, opening it up, licking the inside, and going, man, I enjoy Hydrox. Like seven people know what that is.
What's wrong with Hydrox?
It's off the market, man. They pulled that shit off the market.
Why did they pull it off?
Because seven people died, and no one bought the cookie.
Oh, shit. I didn't know seven people died.
Damn.
From Hydrox, really?
No, not from Hydrox. Just natural causes. They were the last seven people who ever brought Hydrox.
Damn. I didn't know that. I dove into the news kind of early because I don't know how. I know we have a lot of guests today, which is a good thing. And who are we having on the show?
Forgot I was messing with my mic. I turned it off. The always creepy, sinister minister will be here.
Awesome.
Sinister.
Then we will have a true minority, a white rapper. His name's Enigma. He's actually pretty cool. He will be on. And then joining us later in the evening is Tracy with a tool belt, who is self-described as Rachel Ray if she were on crack and could build shit.
And was built like a brick shit house.
Yeah, she's got some...
Holy... And this chick is a general contractor?
She's a general contractor and an inspector, if you can believe that.
That's... I mean...
Reading her bio is very interesting.
Can you imagine, though? You know, she's what... You know...
I'm here to check your house.
Will you check my plumbing, too? Please?
Seriously, if she were to come to my door with a tool belt on, I'm thinking, I've died and gone to a porn movie.
So, she's a hot chick.
She's hot. She's smoking hot, and she builds shit. Can you believe that?
So why is she a phone interview?
Because she lives.
Because she lives in L.A.
She lives in L.A. I mean,
she's working on some television shows. So
and she's working on TV stuff, and she probably is not safe to drive yet, considering.
No, I don't think she is, but I don't know. She got into a car accident, has a concussion. I think she got busted up a little bit more, which is we were supposed to have her on a couple weeks ago, but. Mm-hmm. Everything now, I guess she's getting a lot better, and she wants to come on the show. So
excellent! Wow, they want to come on the show. That's a scary thought. Just dawned on me. I don't have my music bed up.
Is there air conditioning in this motherfucker or no?
Yeah. What do you think we are? The box office?
I don't know. It is hot as shit up in here, though. Goddamn! I swear, like an Alabama slave up in this motherfucker, man.
That's because your great grandfather was.
Maybe he was.
Yeah,
he
probably was.
Maybe he escaped. Maybe he was the one that got away.
Nah. That's saying your family has a little bit of ingenuity going on. And come on now. We all know the truth.
Speaking of, you do know what today is, right, Decaf?
What's that?
No. Man. You don't know what today
is?
You
know what today is?
4th of April. What happened 40 years ago today?
Oh, Martin Luther King assassination.
That's
very
right.
Good. And we're making racist jokes. Fuck.
Hey, I never did forget when I was like first on the show. You made that fucked up comment about Martin Luther King getting shot. Yeah, I didn't forget that shit. That was one of the first ones. But
yeah, it was all downhill from there.
But yeah, I guess they're, you know, I think black people really don't believe it was James Earl Ray.
What?
You know, they're saying, I think as time goes by, I think more and more black people don't think. It was James Earl Ray. You know, everyone wants to think it's someone bigger. Everyone wants to think it was the government. You know what I mean? No one really wants to believe that there's the lone assassin with the three-part name just don't.
Oh, come on. Every good assassin has three names.
I know. Even Sirhan had four. You know, Mark David Chapman.
Yeah.
James Earl Ray.
Sirhan.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
And
Herbert Walker Bush. Oh.
John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, there you go. I mean,
so you got that.
You know what? Everybody wants that conspiracy theory. Everybody wants it to be something bigger and more vile and disgusting and horrible than it actually is. Everybody wants to, you know, say that, oh, it wasn't one lone psycho nut. It was a massive conspiracy brought on by aliens and Elvis and JFK.
The CIA. Don't forget the CIA.
And yes. Well, give me a few more initials. CIA, NSA didn't exist back then. The FBI did.
FBI.
And Herbert Hoover's high heels maker, you know.
Now, do you believe
it? Jagger Hoover. Wrong Hoover. Fuck.
Now, in any
they
of these,
all suck.
Is any of these assassinations, do you believe it was an actual conspiracy in any of them? Or you think it was just all on government?
Wow, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think, fuck, you'll have to come back to me on that one. Murph!
I completely believe that there are some conspiracies and things. Others, it's just random events. I mean, the Mafia had a long-running, you know, feud with the Kennedys, so
yeah.
Kennedy getting shot's really not all that far-fetched. Also, the Cuban government possibly having something to do with it. But other shit, just shit happens, unfortunately.
Yeah, and the only thing with this, like the Sirhan and the shooting Bobby Kennedy.
Well, you know, they're saying there was more gunshots or more bullet holes
in
the wall.
Yeah, more bullet holes in the wall than he had bullets in the gun.
And I mean, you see the gun?
The little thing.
Yeah, it was like a girly gun. It's like when you pull out of his panties to go shoot.
Failure, you're going to get it.
I hate you. I hate you, Bobby.
Bang, bang, bang.
What a pussy gun. Yeah. What's up, a man's gun?
And then you look at the death certificate. Cause of death, shotgun blast to the chest. It's like, wait, what? Now there's a conspiracy. Wait a minute. Massive seeping wound. Pea shooter.
Pea shooter.
Not quite working out here.
That was a little ass gun. So what's going on, Scrappy? You know about assassinations?
No.
Robert Kennedy? John F. Kennedy?
Sure. I know they got shot.
So what's
or shot at.
So what are you upset about? What are you frustrated about? You can't
get
your computer. Why?
Because I keep trying to Control-Alt-Delete and it's not doing anything.
That's because Control-Alt-Delete doesn't do anything on that system. It's a Linux system.
It just did the minute it's ago. It restarted the whole system. Well, then I freaking hit something wrong. Okay, Control-Alt-Delete. It says,
F-disk.
You are about to log off. You sure you want to do this? Yes. Now it won't even log me off anymore. Oh, it just did.
How about this?
Okay, it wasn't before. Fuck you.
Scrappy, please do not touch the computer until break.
I'm trying to effing
Scrappy,
fix
stop.
It.
Don't, well, then come don't over effing fix it. At break, I will come over there and fix it. You'll have to hold on till then and interact with people.
Hi, people.
How many people we have
it's
today?
It's one of them shows.
How many people we got today?
I know about the Brady Handgun Act. You
Tom,
were talking
Tom,
about...
Tom Brady?
You were talking about the freaking
shotgun
assassination.
That's it. What's Brady's first day?
I don't fucking know.
Better yet, what did Brady do to get the handbill named after him?
He got shot.
By? For doing what?
For protecting what's his face?
What's his face?
That president.
Which president?
I can't remember.
What?
I'm bad with names.
You know he was in office. You know he was in office
but
before
I watched
she was
the
born.
Video.
Yeah, I know.
What?
He was in office before you were born. I think he was in the second term.
He's on. You can. You
when
can
she was born.
Wait. You don't even know who was the 40th.
I can't fucking think of his name.
40th, 39th.
I give
president?
You a hint. It has two R's. First day and last day.
He used to be an actor.
Reagan.
Oh, there you go.
What's his first day?
Ronald.
Oh. What's his wife's name?
I don't. Someone Reagan.
Just say no.
I should know it because she. I should know it because I did.
Yeah,
have to
you
do,
got
like,
that right. You
something
should know
on
it.
The Brady and all this shit and.
Okay,
yeah,
so I mean,
should know it. But
you know,
whatever.
I know. Okay,
I forget names. I'm bad with names.
We all know that Jackie was a Kennedy. You know, Jacqueline Onassis Kennedy. But yeah. Well, let's see who gets this. Lady Bird
Johnson.
Thank you. Agatha.
Isn't it Roosevelt's wife who didn't have to change her last name? Because he married his cousin. Who was it? Who was it who married his cousin? She didn't have to. Her maiden name was the same as his
Roosevelt?
Last name. Was it Roosevelt?
Yeah.
I
Did
knew
you say
that.
Say the first name?
No.
No.
No, it wasn't Teddy. It wasn't Teddy Roosevelt.
Not Teddy. Later down.
No, Franklin didn't marry his. Eleanor was his cousin.
Was his cousin.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Didn't
she
know
didn't
that.
Have to get
I don't know if it was by marriage
changed.
Or what, but it was just, you know.
I know people's probably like, okay, we tuned in the Spank Wagon. They're talking about politics. Yeah, it's,
politics and cousins fucking. Yes, I'm not here at Spank Wagon.
And since when would anybody expect anything different? It's just really weird because we're all kind of like really mellow. I have to be because otherwise I can't talk.
I'm energetic.
I know it'd be kind of fun to watch your voice melt down over the next 2 hours.
I'm on the show.
I'm just hot. Just hot as shit though, man. I don't know.
It is a little hot in here.
You guys didn't pay the power
bill. We obviously paid the power bill. We're on the fucking air.
Yeah.
The air conditioning is kicking in, but it's only at one little vent that does all that work.
That's the only vent we have in the whole fucking studio.
Yes.
Jesus, I'm bringing that. Bring one of those $1 fans. You see with the different colors and shit.
Yeah.
And a sprayer so you can spray yourself.
All right, yeah, wonderful idea. Let's introduce water to electronics.
You can barely get the computer to
Let's
work.
Let's see. Yeah, you can.
It's working. Just the chat won't come up. Everything else works.
Let alone putting water on it.
Okay, except for, it. Never mind, I lied, it doesn't
well,
work.
Well, what we'll do then is we'll go to a really quick break. We'll get your fucking chat working.
Yay.
And then we'll come back and go through the rest of the beginning of the show. By that time, we should actually have our guest here. So you're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio.
And we'll be back in just one moment.
Creepy sinister minister. How you doing, sir?
Hello. I'm creeped out already. Dude, that was loud.
Yeah, that, just
yeah, that whole slider thing really didn't work out too
well. That was not knowing exactly what the volume was going to give me.
That's all right.
Made an impact. How you doing?
Either way, I still piss my pants.
So the sinister is with us here. Or the minister. Sinister. Sorry, dude. You creep me out every time you come in the studio.
Actually, I just want to see the lizard.
Yeah, we got one of our dragons here with us today.
Yeah, it's good to hear someone wants to see a lizard and Murphy not pull out his.
Yeah. What's his name?
That's not what I...
Her name's Pandora. Pandora.
Does she have a box?
Wow.
Wow, thanks for the lame humor.
No, you can't. You want to walk on the board?
Yeah, we got you got the promo playing there. There you go.
Oh, yep. Sorry, still got the audio going. My bad.
You want to bring that slider down?
Yeah,
there it is.
There we go.
Hey, I'm not even running the board anymore, man. Pandora's got it. I mean, I'm not doing a thing over here.
She seems so excited to be here too.
Yeah, she's all over the board. It's actually kind of funny. Check yeah.
Yeah, she ran out of my hand, so yeah, she's like, I'm probably freezing, you know, and she's like, maybe, fuck you.
So Sinister Minister is in the studio with us here, and for those of you that do not know, Minister has his own website that has probably some of the coolest horror movies you will ever see.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and give that address out.
www.themmt.com for the Midnight Massacre Theater. Best damned, all puns intended, horror host show ever.
And, dude, you have the most inventive MySpace bulletins I think I've ever seen.
Thanks. You like those?
Do you do those yourself? Actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are actually really cool. He has basically a bunch of horror photos that he...
She's freaking around. She's like... Yeah.
That he puts his logos up, which is actually really cool. And the lizard is transferring Pandora. Back across. There we go. Mom, I'm freaking out.
She's excited. I've never been in a place like this. You have to check
so, a place with so much class. And
class? That's what you call this? Fuck.
This is a classy place. I mean, we got half-naked women on the wall.
She's already starstruck.
Yeah, there you go. That's what it is.
Anyway, yeah, the MySpace bulletins are fine. I don't know. I just... That's my sense of humor, you know. I'm sarcastic. Yeah.
They are funny. I like them.
I find these really cool stills from horror films, and I think of usually I try to find a line from the actual movie, you know, like that it's from. Mm-hmm. I'll think of a line in my head from the movie, and I'll somehow incorporate it to advertise the show. Like I just did a cool one with a scene from Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter, one of my newest ones, where he's the scene where he kills the cop in the.
In the prison,
in the cage, when he kills the cop with the billy club. Oops, excuse me. Kills the cop.
Kills the cop with a mic stand.
Every time I'm here, I do that.
Yes, you do.
Anyway, and I just put the caption like I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti, and then watched the Midnight Massacre Theater. You know, stuff like that.
I can see you going into character and reading that as you're typing out, and then like laughing, and then
I giggle to myself every time I make one of those things, and I do. Yeah, I'd sit there and just snicker like Renfield.
You know, every time I go. Now, the last time you were here, you were talking about you were getting on the air back east, a couple of different stations back there.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Borloff guy that does a show called Monster Madhouse back in Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. He picked me up, and I don't know yet what the exact – he told me it's already going on out there. And he was out here for the NAPTI convention, and we hooked up and hung out, and – he told me that it's already going, but I don't know any times or schedules yet. He was supposed to give me that, and I haven't talked to him in a while. So, but evidently on the station, it's a public access channel that he's on out there. I think I follow his show, or so, like right after his show, I think they put me on.
Okay.
So it's out there in the DC, and I wish I had more info on that, but I don't have like an exact station or a time yet. You know, so when I do, I'll put that out. You know, on the internet when I have it.
Well, those of you back east in D.C. in the D.C. area, if you're cruising around your channels late one Saturday night and you happen to see a rather creepy guy on talking about some awesome horror movies, I think you may have found the show you were looking for.
I don't know if it's Friday or Saturday.
Well, one of those.
Sure, but it's one of those nights. I'm pretty sure it's one. I'm not sure. I got to find out for sure on that.
So now what else do you have going on? I mean, you've always got something in the cupboard.
Well, you know, we just attended a really cool convention here in town called the Trans World. It's a horror and Halloween convention for all the you know, like Halloween companies that make haunted house, you know, haunted house.
So what did they have? They just had the costumes all.
Well, yeah,
there.
It's like a walk. I've never been to one of these, and usually they have it in Chicago, but this year they brought it here, and it's like walking through the coolest goddamn Halloween store you've ever been.
You know what? Is that the? I think I saw maybe a picture. Is that the one where they had like people hanging up? Like me?
Yeah.
I saw a picture of that.
It was over at the Sands Expo.
Yeah, that was pretty creepy.
We went, the picture myself, was. And we took the girls and our camera, and we got some really cool video of a lot of stuff because I don't ever get the chance. You know, most of the good conventions like the Scream Fests and the Cinema Wasteland and all that, that's all back east. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't travel back there to do that, and I want to go to these things and, you know, capture some cool footage just to, because I'm going to be releasing some DVDs probably around Halloween this year.
Ooh.
Like a package. I've never done that. I'm going to package up some Midnight Massacre stuff, and I'm going to start selling it on my website, you know, as seasons and stuff like that. And I just wanted some cool extra footage. So, and the really cool part, like, we spoke to a lot of cool people that day and got them on camera. Like, I got to meet Lon Chaney Jr.'s grandson. Ron Chaney, who's running Chaney Entertainment now. We got a cool little thing. I had no idea who the guy was. I just saw a booth with a bunch of Lon Chaney stuff, and I'm like, oh, this guy's great. He's one of my favorite older actors. So him and Lon Chaney and Senior and Junior had everything. And I just noticed, you know, Chaney Entertainment. I'm like, well, this has, you know, I met the guy, and he, hey, I'm Ron Chaney. I'm like, really? You must be related. All right. So, and I got a cool interview, him and his daughters. So you know, I got to meet the Chaney, the next generation, the girls. They were cool. That, and we also did a really cool little interview with Elvira that day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. We found out Elvira was going to be there promoting a her, you know, the Rubies, I think, is the name of the costume company that makes her outfit for Halloween sales and so on and so forth. And she was there promoting it, and a buddy of mine, a good friend of mine that runs a local store here called Cash for Chaos. You ever heard of Mel? He was there, and he actually told me Elvira was going to be there. So
how old is Elvira now?
I don't know, man. She's like in her 50s. But, yeah, she looks good. Yeah, she's like in her 50s.
I thought she was in her 50s when I was five.
No, she looks good for her age, you know? I was, like, right here. I have a close on
her. Oh, Elvira's never going to look bad.
I think your mic died there, Murph.
Your mic died. There it is.
Okay, why don't you blow on it like a Nintendo cartridge?
There
you go.
And hit it on the side. You got to hit it on the side of the leg.
There we go. She's looked identical for the last 20 years. Yeah. You'd never know she'd aged.
She was really cool. You know, like we got there. She wasn't actually there. She was on a break, so we just kind of hung out. It was amazing. You know, when you go to those things, I mean, that's my crowd. That's the kind of people that, you know, the Halloween and Haunt people. And we must have took more pictures that day with people than I can remember. I mean, I was blinded by flashes. It was very cool. Everybody was like, oh, what do you guys do? So, I mean, we made a lot of good connections. We got interviewed by a magazine called 13th Hour, a brand new horror magazine, really nice publication. They're going to put something in one of the new publications about us and the show and everything. And, like I said, when we ran into Elvira, we were waiting for her to come back from a break, and I'm sitting there going, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to bring this up? Here I am forgetting we're all dressed up, you know, and makeup and all that. And I'm like, what am I going to say? You know, excuse me, can we, whatever, you know. Without sounding like a jackass. But it worked out great because she walked up with her manager and looked right at us and was like, ooh, you guys look great. And I was like, window. So I walked over and I'm like.
did you take any pictures with Elvira?
What we did is we got her on camera. I just asked her, look, I do the local horror host show. And she immediately lit up like, oh, awesome. That's great. You know, she's like, I love to see people just doing this again.
Did you do it in character?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I was fully in character.
Cool.
And I just like, look, you know, we just want to get can we get a quick hello? And she was very cool, very courteous, very nice, very like, yeah, no problem. She's like, I love helping out horror hosts. And I'm like, beautiful. So, and she had a line of about 40 people waiting to get an autograph. And I was like, well, we'll wait. She's like, no, I'm not, just come over. So she brought us right in up front of everybody. And we just knelt down next to her chair. She had Succubus here sit down right next to her. Here, sit down next to me. That was kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so we just did a quick little hello with her, you know, a little interview thing, and let her promote whatever she wanted to promote. And the coolest thing is I got to, I always wanted to, you know, her from her show, and she always says unpleasant dreams at the end. I was like, I wanted to do it with her. So I'm like, can we do your closing line together? And she said, yeah. So we both looked at the camera, and it was a cool little moment for me personally, you know.
That's like
we both got to say unpleasant dreams together.
Yeah, so. you just basically, after you got done there, you're like,
yeah, that was awesome. Yeah!
That was very cool. Okay, back in character.
Yeah, because she was, you know, she was an influence on me, you know, early on. I mean, for what the old horror film thing and so on. So,
same for me, but it was more of a masturbatory thing. But.
Probably.
For
that
you,
too.
That yeah, would yeah, be yeah, it.
What is a masturbatory?
I would say I was warped in more than one way.
Now, I want to get your opinion on something. The dates for the for the Full Moon Horror Road Show have been announced.
I noticed. I was going to get. I was going to buy tickets that day. I'm like, I want to go again. That's where I met you guys last year.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, why do you think that happened? You think it was because of the really bad turnout that they had here?
I'm thinking maybe. Because you don't, you know, I mean, I know that, like, Charles would get online, and after they have a good turnout, he'll rave about it, you know, on the internet and yada yada. Dudes, you guys were awesome, you know, the way he talks these days.
8 million
I think
emails.
I think it's the influence of his new girlfriend, that Robin Sidney. I think that's where he's getting the new lingo. But he'll get on there and just rave, you know, and which is cool. But he never did that for Vegas. No. But, I mean, it's our own fault in a way because, I mean, I hate to say that, I do, but, I mean, this town is, for local, you would know as well as I know, as believe me, for local cultures, it hurts, man, you know? It's hard to do. I mean, I was in the local band scene for years, and it's an uphill struggle. It's always an uphill struggle because
Do you think it's because it's so many or just because the strip just takes everybody away?
It's the strip. There's no community. It's the nature of Vegas. It's the fact that you can do whatever you want here 24/7. There's always a show going on. There's always something happening. So anything of a local culture, naturally gets overshadowed.
Yep.
That's why it's hard to keep anything of like a local underground culture going strong here. Whereas you go back east, Arkansas, New England area, that's huge because that's all they have. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
That one convention, it's like, oh my God, everybody's got to finally have something to do on a Friday.
Go. Yeah, and see, and that's why it's hard for me too. Like, you know, I've got a much bigger following outside of Vegas than I do here because I can't so far. Like, I was on a public access channel, Vegas 35. Mm-hmm. They're crashed and burned. They're gone. I mean, no one even answers the phone over there anymore. So, I'm trying to call those fuckers, and nobody. Yeah. It's like they've just packed up and left.
It's like,
so 35.
What you want, man?
Yeah, as far as I know,
Vegas 35.
35 is toast, as far as I know. So I'm not even on that anymore. I mean, the last I heard, people would be able to pick up their signal, and I was told online by a few people that they were running a promo, like they were running just 24/7. They were running a promo. Okay, they were running a promo of all their shows, and mine was one of them. But they were just running like
promos,
just promos 24/7.
They wasn't running the show.
Anyway, I got
coming
off,
eventually.
Yeah, and the thing is, so,
sometime
I voiced
maybe
it.
Next week. Maybe sometime in the near future.
And I did the voiceover for their whole promo for all their shows. So it's like people would, hey, I heard you on Vegas.
Hey,
like,
hey, you get the exposure at least.
Right, well, yeah. that was fine with me. But, you know, the show's not really getting out to the local crowd. So that's, you know, I'm really trying to get on a better local network. You know what I mean? I really want to capture the local crowd.
What about trying and taking snippets and clips and advertising through, like, MySpace or through Facebook? Or not MySpace, but the YouTube or Google Video. Or you're still out.
Yeah.
You got to push that.
You can only push that so far.
Yeah.
I mean, you really need an on-air output, and I mean, in this town, it's kind of hard.
It is, and it's very hard. It's like, again, it's an uphill struggle, but I mean, you know, so it's a labor of love, and I love horror host shows, and I love doing it, you know, and I mean, I'm never going to give it up. I'm going to keep bothering the hell out of certain people until somebody breaks, man, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I know for a fact that this is a show that people will want to see on the, there's nothing like this in Vegas, you know? At all. There's no horror host shows. The last one was years ago, and it was the Count Cool show.
Count Cool Rider. I remember that.
And actually, he's actually a real friend of mine. I mean, I've been talking to him lately.
What do you think? Do you see any time in the near future that, you know, the city may, you know, becoming more of a horror?
Hopefully around Halloween of this year.
That's about it?
I hope. We'll see.
Yeah. I think last Halloween, a lot of people didn't even trick-or-treat or anything.
We were supposed to do something, you know, I don't know, should I even mention it?
There was something that was supposed to go on, and then it fell through at the last moment.
Yeah, it fell through at the last second that actually Chris
really
and I were
ridiculous.
Working on together. So hopefully, they had mentioned this year that it was a thing they wanted to do, so I don't want to mention any names yet, but
there's a possibility there.
There is a possibility that something might happen this year, and it's looking like maybe like a Halloween special type thing,
right.
Which is fine with me because at least it's a foot in the door. You know what I mean?
You mean like a show or televised?
A televised thing. I actually am considering doing some live stuff, like from one of those cheap dollar theaters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or I'm considering. I've been wanting to do this for a couple of years. I just have to. There's some equipment I need to get to do it live, and it's like doing showing a movie. You know, I'll put my little setup on a stage next to it and have a live cut to a camera, and I'll do my drops actually live on a stage in front of a crowd.
Nice. You know what I mean?
That'd be very cool.
So, and again, that's like a midnight movie thing that no one else does. I mean, they do the Rocky Horror thing, but again, that's a very limited.
That's more comedy than horror anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
This is something where people can just kind of sit and watch the movie and be entertained, and it's just going to take my partner and I are, and he's very knowledgeable, and he used to work in television and everything, so he does all my technical part of my show, so he handles all that stuff, and we're getting we're kind of working it out where we get the actual audio equipment and so on and the linking that we need to make that happen. So that might happen this year. I've really been for like 2 years I've been wanting to do that.
Very
now,
cool.
Do you think it's moreover that the genre itself right now is kind of in a weird place? I mean, Horror Fest last year was a complete bomb.
You know, it's funny you said that. You talk about the movies, right?
Yeah, the Horror Fest movies.
You know, I hate even saying this, but you know, you're right, because I actually have watched only one of them so far.
Which one did you watch?
Lake Dead. I was not impressed. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, it was just pretty much the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Friday the 13th mixed
combined
up.
Combined in one, yeah.
That's basically what it was, you know, and
I watched all of last year's.
Oh, you well, last, you know, the 2006, I liked a lot of them.
I watched the 07 stuff. And
or I'm sorry, was it 6 or 7? No, it
started
just,
in 6, and then there was 7. Yeah, there was last year's. And of last year, the best, which is bad to say in itself, was the deaths of Ian Stone, which really wasn't that good anyway.
I watched all the previews. I got online, and I looked at every preview of every one of those movies, of all the new ones. And about half of them looked interesting. The other half looked bad.
They had potential, but it just never went anywhere.
Right, and that's too bad because it was a good idea. I like that idea of young upcoming filmmakers being given a chance like that.
Was it that it's bad because it was just badly filmed of cost, or the story just wasn't intriguing?
The movie I saw just wasn't intriguing. I'm sorry. I mean, I hate to say that, but...
But do it look like they spend a decent amount of money doing it?
Oh, no, the production value... I mean, the production looks like it's... The production of the movie looks like, you know, a decent production. It's just that the story, and it was very predictable, and I don't know, is, you know...
And the bad dialogue on a lot of them, you know...
Well, have you written your own?
Have I written my own movie?
Yeah. Have you ever thought about that?
You know
just
what?
Sitting down and...
I have. Actually, yes. I actually do have a concept for a movie that I have put together in my head. I don't have it scripted or anything, but I do have... And I don't really want to say anything yet. But
it's understandable.
It is something that I have considered going to independent filmmakers with, maybe. And trying to get done. It's kind of a slasher thing, but I hate to say that too because it's been done to death. But it's kind of a slasher movie, but it deals more with
Don't worry, you sound like me when someone asks me what's your story
actually,
about.
Yeah, you'll actually that you'd actually sympathize with the killer on. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like, this is something you would actually be like. Usually the killer is the villain, and but you know, and you're like, oh, he's the bad guy, and the, you know, the whatever. But this is actually something that would show why, you know, the guy did or went. You know what I mean?
Why he went that way.
I'll tell you what. Let me tell you why it's so difficult, because I write stories. Let me tell you why it's difficult, because in your head, you have a whole scenario. You have like 6 million things, you know. Oh, well, you know, it's because of this, that, and that, and that. But then when someone asks you, you have to give it in like a sentence or two, because people's interest only lasts long.
I know.
So you try to say it without like, you know, trying to over-gel the people's like, okay, yeah, oh, that's nice, you know,
that's
but
exactly
it's hard. It's hard to explain something that you working on.
I know, man. I've got that in the back of my mind. I've actually, you know, I'm writing it down in like an overall summary, and I'm going to figure I'll approach some independent. I know a guy that did Murder Set Pieces, filmed it here, Nick Palumbo or something. I've met him. I've run into him a few times, and actually that was a very well done movie, man. If you guys ever saw Murder Set Pieces, it was filmed here in town.
I'll have to check that out.
Really, there were some scenes in that whoa, pretty fucking creepy, man. He did a good job on that film. I mean, it's just it was a low budget production, but the story itself and the scenes itself were pretty brutal. So I got to give it up to that guy for doing this. I'm thinking someone like him I might approach at some point. To see if there's any interest in this film. And again, it's a subject that's been done. But, you know, if it can be portrayed like that, where you can make people, you know, see it from the other side, I don't know.
That's what they did with Devil's Rejects. I mean, it took characters that you hated in the first film and in the second,
and
sympathize with
them. Yeah, you're right. And also, without even realizing it, also the Halloween, Zombies
mm-hmm.
Halloween,
because
you get to see Michael as a young boy.
You get to see what he went through.
And you begin to sympathize with. So, yeah, that's true.
Now, going from independent film being, you know, where people will start, how do you feel about, you know, Diary of the Dead, where that's basically Romero's last refuge?
Honestly, I didn't see Diary of the Dead yet.
I haven't had a chance to see it either.
Yeah,
but
I've seen a couple clips online. I've looked at a couple of snippets. I think I watched a trailer. You know, I didn't see it. I can't really say anything. You know what I mean? I'll tell you this much. I'm not, and I said this before, and it's going to sound stupid, I know, but I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of zombie movies.
Uh-oh.
I'm not. I'm sorry.
We've had this discussion. Yeah, this is where Sinister and I really part ways.
I'm not. I just like more deeper psychological stuff. I mean, to me... And there's definitely a place for it. There's people that like it. It's a big genre. That's awesome. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, personally, me, I like something that's a little deeper intellectually scary.
So you like American Psycho?
Well,
I know it's not really scary, but I mean, it's more funny.
In a way, yeah. Those two different directions. But as far as people with the zombie movies, the lure is watching these dead things walk around and eat brains.
And a lot of it, too, is the survivor story.
True. That's true. The survivor. I'll give you the Dawn of the Dead remake was good. That was
very well done.
I wasn't right for a week after I watched that. I'm not kidding. That one was good. And I think it's because the way they changed the behavior of the zombies. Mm-hmm. They weren't just walking around in a trance. They could run after your ass as fast as a fucking car and take you down.
I didn't like the first Dawn of the Dead.
The first one. The original?
Yeah.
Oh, the original was great. It was a great commentary on social structure.
Because it was so slow?
Because it was 67?
I was just in there like...
Think about when it was made. You have to take into consideration. At the time, it was scary as hell. You know what I mean? Which is why I think they redid it scary as hell in the remake. I got to give them credit for that.
I like the original, even the Night of the Living Dead. The original, and I like the remake they did in the 80s, too.
Yeah, the other zombie movie one of my other only zombie films I really liked was the Return of the Living Dead 3 with Mindy Clark. Now, that, and a reason,
you didn't like part one?
The reason I liked, they lose me after a while, because to me, it's just running around.
Yeah.
You like deep, thought-out killers.
Because it showed her struggling.
With that and with the glass
changing,
the skin
exactly.
And, that was really good.
That was a good one. I don't know. That's what gets me. That's why I like the, deeper psychological horror stuff. Like there's a, and then you got all the stuff like the classic monsters. Obviously, that's everybody likes that, as far as I know. But
moving into the classic stuff, have you seen the images and what's your feeling on the remake of The Wolfman?
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I was going to bring it up anyway.
I was baiting you on that one.
I am pissing myself waiting for this. I saw the makeup. I saw Benicio in it. Looks fantastic. Rick Baker, who did American Werewolf in London, by the way, and just kicked. That's one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. But The Wolfman remake, I think, is going. I'm just going to say I think it's going to be fan-fucking-tastic. But... who knows? Some people may like him, some people may not like it. I'm definitely going to love it. I don't care because that movie is the first Universal film that grabbed me when I was young. I was probably 10 years old or something. I don't know what the hell I was, but I was young. I watched The Wolfman on my own, the original, by myself one night and was just hooked. They used to show on Channel 5, by the way. They used to show all the old Universal movies about 1 a.m., way back in the day when I was young, and that was I'd stay up and watch them all and tape them back when they had VCRs were Betamaxes. Remember that?
I remember that. Yeah. What's funny? Fox was so tied to that when Fox did its first line of actual real programming, they had Parker Lewis Can't Lose, they had some show about some kid Beans, and then they had that werewolf show. That was their first three big shows, and Fox has really been tied to that ever since.
Well, Fox? What, wasn't Married with Children?
No, Married with Children was actually around before Fox started doing their programming. It's actually a Paramount show.
Oh, okay.
But
I remember that coming out. But I remember that as a Fox thing. I remember the whole lineup when they had, The Simpsons, or not The Simpsons.
Herman's
Tracy
Head.
Tracy Ullman show. Remember that?
Yeah.
The Tracy Ullman show.
Gary Shandling.
Shandling, there you go. That's the one.
Herman's Head.
Yeah, Herman's Head. I remember, the whole lineup, that when I was...
In Living Color.
About 88-ish, 87, 89, something like that. Yeah. The Wolfman thing I can't wait for. I am just holding my breath, man, for that. I can't wait, man. That's a remake I've been waiting for forever. So, and again, Anthony Hopkins is playing Sir John Talbot. I want to know what they're going to do. They have said nothing about the role that Bela Lugosi had in that film, which was the gypsy who was the werewolf that bit Lon Chaney Jr. to begin with. I want to know if they're going to give that to an actor, which they better. I don't want to see that just CGI'd as some random wolf in the forest that bites him. That will make me mad.
Now, what if they CGI it and make it Bela?
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Like they did when they had Fred Astaire dancing in that commercial with a vacuum cleaner.
That would probably... flip me the fuck out. That I'm fine with that. If you're going to give credit to Bela Lugosi, sure, do it. But I'm just wondering. I just don't want it to be some kind of, CGI'd werewolf, random wolf that nobody knows.
Looking like Gollum.
Yeah. I want to see it given the proper respect it deserves. And I think it will. I do.
Now, is Wolfman out of... out of its copyright yet, so you can have it on the show?
No, Universal film is.
They'll never leave copyright.
Never. Oh, no, that'll never happen.
Universal films are off limits, man. You can't. Actually, it's funny. I know of some horror hosts that I've heard of that have actually shown some Universal films. I'm having trouble talking now for some reason. But I think it's because some of these people are on certain stations back east, like if they're not cable access stations. And you never know. Some of these stations just might have licensing agreements. They might have paid
to have.
Yeah, that's the case. Already.
You can umbrella under a station's licensing agreement. From what I understand, you can. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe you can do that, and then you can get away with showing films like that are still under copyright. If it's under like a station's licensing agreement, I mean, I don't know. You probably wouldn't know.
There are some some blanket agreements there. And others. You know, there's a little more. In-depth
basically,
stuff.
You either get a per use or you get like if it's something they plan on playing over and over and over again, they'll just go ahead and say, "Hey, we want a lifetime or a month or whatever. Right. We can play this over."
And then
there's
a barter system between stations. Yeah.
So I got to stick to the public domain stuff, which is fine because you dig in there and you find some good stuff. You know,
well,
I find some good.
Night of the Living Dead for the longest time was still
actually
public
it still
domain.
Is it still is. You know, as far as I know, I mean, I check my site that I use all the time, and they're always adding films, and this is. A site that actually sells these public domain films, so they make it their business to keep updated. So I hope they're, I'm not going to mention it yet, but I hope that that they're up to date on it because I've checked others and I think they are. So, cool. But as far as I know, it's still up there.
Did you ever try like going to places and having them put on a movie for some, for a price, whatever, like the libraries for one? Renting out a conference room and then charging people to come in and watch it. Never
I have
done that.
Never. That's never crossed my mind.
Yeah, that'd be something to look into too.
Like I said, I've thought about the doing a show from a theater, which would be a live thing, which would be fun. I think around Halloween time, I'd like to do something like that.
And like I said, you could rent them. You can rent them from the library. It's not that expensive.
Yeah. So I'll find some place to do it.
That'd be awesome. You'll have to let us know when that, and if that rolls out and where. And when the DVDs come out, we'll definitely be buying them.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting a whole merch page. I mean, I've been on it for a while. I had to do certain legal things, and they're done now. So,
excellent.
Now I can sell my merchandise online. I got T-shirts already done. I got a bunch of T-shirts made up. I'll get you guys taken care of with some T-shirts.
Wow, very cool.
Awesome.
I'm going to do a bunch of merch stuff right now because, when you're doing your show on the internet, you're not making any money off of it, but merchandise can help out. So, which is another reason why I want to get in a better network here in town.
Better neighborhood.
Network. It is goddamn money off this thing. But whatever. It's not that big of a deal. Like I said, I love doing it, So that's the thing, just watching the show. And the best thing is people that contact me, like through MySpace or whatever, and say how much they like the show. I mean, I've gotten emails from so many people, and actually, I've actually printed many of them out, and I put them in my little promo packet that I give out.
Give out to people,
so they can see a lot of good responses and people that have really enjoyed the show, and that's what I really get a lot of satisfaction out of. I like that I entertain people like that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Very cool, man. All right, we'll give out the site one more time.
www.vmmt.com.
And the MySpace.
MySpace is there's a link. Off my site to go to MySpace, but it's just let me see. Jeez, what is that damn MySpace? Midnight Mask. Yeah, because I have three pages. I have three MySpace pages.
That's why he links it.
Yeah, that's why I just click and link it. But yeah, the my page is the Midnight Massacre Theater. MySpace / Midnight Massacre Theater, and then the Altar Girls have a page, which is I think it's just under Sinister Minister 13. I think is what you have to type to go to the Altar. I know it's stupid, but that's what it's under.
It works.
And then I have another MySpace page that's in collaboration with a guy, another friend of mine back east that does a horror host thing. His name is Fendred.
There's nothing wrong with having multiple MySpace pages.
Oh, no,
there.
Yeah.
we'll make sure we drop the links on the front page.
Yeah, another one.
You just proved the conversation that we had.
In collaboration with a buddy of mine named Fendred, who has a thing called Weirdo Cinema TV that I'm also, he runs my show on.
Weirdo Cinema TV?
Weirdo Cinema TV.com. I like that. Which is another site that runs Midnight Massacre, along with several other horror hosts out there, too. So.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Well, as usual, it's great having you on. We love talking to you.
Yeah, thanks. I like coming here.
Getting your points of view on things. And why don't you go ahead and give everyone a creepy outro as you usually would off your show, and we'll go ahead and we'll cut to a break.
So hard. I'll do it, but it's so hard when I'm not actually.
You have to be in character.
In that mindset.
The makeup, and I have to have it all on, and then I can it's funny you send that. Elvira, before we go, is it's funny. I noticed she's the same way. Another thing that amused me personally is when we were getting ready to do the interview, I was just sitting there talking to her off camera, and I was asking her what, and she was like, yeah, whatever, 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 sure, cool. And then as soon as the camera turned on, bam, she turned into Elvira. And it was cool to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was right next to her, like, here, and all of a sudden, we're just talking and everything, and all of a sudden, she's very professional. All of a sudden, boom, she turns in and does all the voices and the, bam, Elvira. And I was staring. I must have looked stupid on camera because I could imagine my face. It was just like a blank stare. Like, right, you know? Just fucked with me, man.
It's that Batman Bruce Wayne switch. You got
to
make
very,
it.
Well, it's
very
it's
cool
masked.
To see. Yeah, you know, you put up, okay, I'll see what until next time, Creepsies, this is the Sinister Minister of the Midnight Massacre Theater and the Altar Girl. Well, one Altar Girl, Succubus, right next to me. And until we see you again, we bid you
adieu.
And good night from the Chapel of Horror. There. That's about the...
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back, folks.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm one very horse trencher, and you're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio.
Almost good time.
Oh, hold on a second. Spankwagon Radio, baby.
Yeah, someone's got to speak because I sure in the hell can't.
Why does my mic smell like blood?
Because that's the mic Sinister Minister was using. God, dude, every time. Ugh.
Yeah, no.
Dick Cheney makes you run. He makes you pee. That's a very interesting problem you have with guests. Speaking of guests, Merv, who do we got on our phone?
On the phone, we have Tracy. Tracy, you there?
Yes, I am.
There she is. Guys, this is Tracy with a tool belt.
Yay.
Damn, she already sounds sexy.
Uh-oh, here we go. You're already going to get hit on several times.
I'm not going to hit on you. I'm just going to say hello. How you doing? What's your breast size?
Tracy, you there?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me? Sound like you in an office.
I can hear you, okay.
You in a drive-thru?
No. I was standing outside, but I'm inside now, so okay. It's better.
I thought I was going to hear, can I get a number one with cheese?
Are we ordering fast food? Let's see. I really am not a big fan of fast food.
So, Tracy, why don't you tell everybody who you are?
Who I am? Well, I'm this little girl. I live in Hollywood, California, and I am a construction guru. I'm a contractor, a home inspector, and I'm known as Tracy with a tool belt. That's basically who I am.
Very cool. Very cool.
Uh-huh.
All right. And now, Tracy with a tool belt, you have to understand, first off, how are you feeling? Because we've tried to book this. Murph here sits across from me. I'm Trencher, by the way. Tried to book this a month ago, and then we see that you were in a really bad accident.
Unfortunately.
What happened?
Well, I was driving home, and a woman just decided she was going to make a left-hand turn for no apparent reason.
Was she Asian?
That she felt like it. So she just basically slammed into my car. The airbag was deployed into my head, the side airbag. And, luckily it wasn't any worse, but unfortunately I suffered a pretty bad concussion.
Ouch.
So no power tools for me for a month, and I'm going crazy because I really want to pick up my Makita so bad.
The doc says no. Why no power tools? Just because of the injury?
Because with the head injury, I have to be careful what I'm doing, where I'm working. I'm not allowed to get on a ladder. So this is really making me very upset because I have things I need to build. I have renovations I got to finish.
So I'm looking at your MySpace here. I'm looking at your bio. Why don't you tell everyone here how you got into the whole construction business?
Long story short, I actually was a radio personality in Florida for quite a few years. I was an on-air personality, and I moved out to Los Angeles to pursue my dream of continuing in radio and hosting for television. And lo and behold, my first job didn't work out. I started the construction company for a guy I was dating at the time because he refused to get up and work. He was just sitting on the couch playing PlayStation 2 most of the day.
So
he said, hey, I'm going to start a business for you.
So what do you mean by starting up, meaning that he provided the money to start the business? Or did you start the business to try to get his ass to go there and work?
Exactly. I wanted him to be productive, so I provided the money and the means to start a business. I did all the sales and marketing for the first year, and then I noticed that he needed some help because we were getting really busy, and I had said, you know what, I've renovated two of my own properties. Why don't I just start doing the business with you? And eventually he kind of fell off, and I kept the business for myself, which is how it's been for the past 5 years, and it's been more successful than ever. And now I'm actually been doing some filming to do some home improvement TV show.
Oh.
So.
Very cool. All right.
Doing everything that I love to do, which is making TV and also doing broadcasting, which is my first love.
Cool. All right. Now, my question is, you're sitting and you're staring at this dude lounging on the couch playing his PlayStation 2, and you're like, I need to get you to do something. I need you to pick up a goddamn hammer. How did you figure out that? You know what? Let's start up a general contracting business.
Well, he was kind of handy. I knew that much about the guy.
Okay.
I've been dating him for a little while.
Yeah, with a PS2 controller.
Well, because he knew how to do tile.
He unplugged the toilet once or twice. He thought he was pretty handy.
Exactly.
No. Was it real tile or was it just those vinyl laminate peel the sticker back? Come on now.
It was real tile, real ceramic. I'm really good at tile now myself, so.
So the show that you've recorded and yes. that you're going to get into, I mean, there's a million one of these home improvement shows on. I mean, mm-hmm. we see them all every day, and those of us mm-hmm. that are married are stuck watching them some nights. What's really going to separate your show out from the gaggle of others?
Well, let's see. Besides the blonde hair and the 36 double D's, yeah!
There you go, decaf.
When's your show airing? Do I need to turn up the volume?
I have to tell you, the boobs will definitely help get the male quotient in. The best exactly. part is, though, I've seen some of the stuff you've got on your MySpace page and looked at some stuff. You actually know what you're doing, so you're not going to be one of these vapid hosts that, you know, can point to what the drill is but doesn't really know how to use it.
Exactly. I actually know how to use all my tools. I'm a very good carpenter, really good at painting. I am fabulous. You know, I can do electrical and plumbing as well, so whatever needs to be done.
What was your I'm gonna do on both sides. What was the best project you ever worked on? What was the worst project?
Oh gosh. Okay, the worst project.
Everyone always starts with the worst.
I'll start with the worst. The worst is when you have a customer that says, "I don't want it. I want to be cheap." And I've learned not to work for people like that. That when they use the cheap word, because I will not do work cheap, because they don't end up wanting to pay at all. Yes. I would prefer, you know, that we would like to save money, something a little less expensive. But at the same time, I like to do more higher-end work because those are people that really want the quality that I can provide.
Well, what's the worst situation then? I mean, the worst...
The worst is not getting paid for a job, which only happened once, and it was like a painting job.
And so what was the best one?
That was it.
And what was the best one?
I mean, I don't really like fixed roofs in the rain. That, you know, that kind of blows.
Yeah,
but I've done it.
So what was the best project you done?
Best project.
Oh, the proudest one you're
in. I do work for one woman who buys very high-end houses, and so I'm always doing really neat design work as well as incorporating the construction. So, you know, a house in the Hollywood Hills in Santa Monica, did it faux finish this entire condo. It was a penthouse, and every room it was faux finished a different color. Hmm. Now, it's not just what everybody out there would like, but it looked really neat when it was done.
Nice.
You know what? I did the tile in the bathrooms at the Von Dutch clothing store. Their corporate office on La Brea here in Hollywood. Did the three bathrooms there. That was a lot of fun.
What's your favorite part? Is your favorite part the actual interior decorating or the building and the hammering and cutting and wood? And
I think, you know what? I would have to say it's the whole process, from being able to talk to the customer, see what they want, put in my two cents when it's needed and when they want it, and kind of work with them what they want, and just to see their face when the process is over, how happy they are with the results.
Nice.
Like I said, I've only had one person that didn't want a painting. That was a $250 painting job.
Has anybody been disappointed with your work?
Excuse me?
Has anyone ever been disappointed with your work?
No.
No.
Not even the woman that didn't pay me. She was just cheap.
Uh-huh. There you go. Now, one question I have then, you know, I saw on your MySpace page the showing up to a job in high heels. What's the usual reaction that you get when you show up to a job and they're like, oh, I hired you to do this? Oh, my God.
You know what? I think because most of my work, I've never advertised. Most of my work has been word of mouth. And because of that, they kind of know what they're getting into when somebody refers me. So they've never really had a problem with it.
So nothing really shocking that you know of.
Yeah.
That really.
Okay. Nope, not at all. People seem to like it, I think.
Okay, all right. So, you know, they like it. It's word of mouth. And now the television stove and the, excuse me, let me try this again, the television stove and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Show, I can't speak today. I'm losing my voice and I'm losing my mind. But where are you, I mean, are you going to be doing like this typical DIY, or are you really going to dive in like this old house and have Norm or boss up? Norm around, or, you know,
how I would like to. That would be really fun to have someone like Norm around. Maybe even another girl. I'm not really sure yet what I want to do. You know, I shot a couple of pilots. I'm up to shoot a few more, and then I've been doing the stuff that I have online. That's mostly stuff that I've done myself, that I've written and produced, and have also been included in the editing process as well. And I would love to do a project where I'm actually helping homeowners do it themselves more.
Would you sell out?
Would I sell out?
Yeah, like if Trading Spaces or one of those home improvement shows offered you a spot? Would you turn them down?
Why
or?
Not? would that really be selling out, though? I mean,
we're all whores.
Yeah,
we're all whores.
Well, I mean, if you have out. Your own plan.
Unless you wanted me to like put on really baggy clothes or something, then I'd be like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, they don't want you hotter than the homeowner. That could be an issue.
Exactly.
Now,
I would be more than happy to see what they had to do with me. So.
Now, and looking through your space, you also seem to, I don't know if you spend a lot of time with bands or you do a lot of work with bands. What's happening there?
I do. I think that's just like a hobby that I have. And because I live in Hollywood, it's kind of par for the course that you know a lot of musicians, you know a lot of people in the industry. And I have this thing, I like to go out at night and I meet a lot of people in bands. And I start helping out with club promotions. And sometimes I need a break. I went from working, I would say, 15-hour days for maybe 5 years straight with the business to having a little bit of downtime and really needing a break. So I started going out a little bit more, getting to know more people, and I enjoy music, so it was kind of like a no-brainer that I would get involved with bands in the club scene around here.
So do you have music playing when you're working?
Oh, of course.
Well, what do you like to hammer and jingle with?
Most of the time, rock and roll, and if I have to start the day off in a way, and it's kind of one of those,
no gangster
I don't
rap.
Really want to be here, it's 6:30, 7 o'clock, I'll just throw on AC/DC, and then I'll get my whole day going.
Now, I was going to say Kiss. Looking at the MySpace, I was going to say Kiss.
Yeah, of course. Kiss will be in the playlist.
So where can people get a view of you other than, I mean, your MySpace, which I'm sure is great, but is there any other places where people can get some you know, insight from you, contact you, and things like that?
Well, right now, I am a home inspector, so I do have a website. It's called safeandsoundinspection.com. So I'm available for home inspections, believe it or not. I do that as well. I also, if somebody wants to come out and meet me, every Tuesday night, I'm at the Vine Bar in Hollywood for a promotion night, and it's called Voodoo Hollywood. And I'm there every Tuesday night, and that's always a lot of fun. We always have different rockers coming down. We have guys from L.A. Guns. Oh, gosh, guys from Tattoo Millionaires. There's all sorts of bands always making an appearance there. Wednesday nights, I'm usually at Howl at the Moon at Universal City Walk. So these are places people can come and meet me.
Excellent.
And we can talk about doing construction work or whatever else they want to talk about.
All right. Now, I want to just really quick, your phone a little chopped up a bit, but safeandsound.com, right?
Safeandsoundinspection.com.
Okay.
Yep.
And, all right. I think that at this point, you know, we want to say thank you very much for your time and thank you very much for being on our show. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. We can't wait to see you on TV.
Oh, well, hopefully that'll be soon. As soon as I know something, I will get in touch with you guys, and maybe you can have me on again, and I can plug whatever channel it's going to be.
Excellent.
Definitely.
I can't afford you because I'm too cheap, so.
Wow.
You know what, though?
Do you take food stamps?
Yeah.
Food stamps for construction?
I'm sitting here going, you know, I got to build this whole wall mount, a full, like, 8 foot wide, 9 foot tall bookshelf that also incorporates a writing desk. And I'm sitting there going,
really?
Oh. But that's my little fun
just
project.
Go buy it.
I just did a job like that up in Malibu.
See, yeah. And that's, you know, we'll have to
I
talk.
Just finished it in January, actually.
Very cool.
All right. It looks fabulous.
Tracy with the tool belt, thank you very much.
Well, thank you guys.
And we will hopefully.
And
you
lady.
Know, once you get that show, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right. That was Tracy with the tool belt. And she basically called in from MySpace. You can search her there. We'll put the links up on the site. And what we're going to do right now here, Spankwagon Radio, we're going to go ahead and cut to a break. We got one more guest tonight. We'll get them in, and we'll be back in just a second.
Thou shalt not worship pop idols or follow lost prophets. Thou shalt not take the names of Johnny Cash, Joe Strummer, Johnny Hartman, Desmond Decker, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, or Syd Barrett in vain. Thou shalt not think any male over the
the age of 30 that plays with a child that is not their own is a paedophile. Some people are just nice. Thou shalt not read NME. Thou shalt not stop liking a band just because they've become popular. Thou shalt not question Stephen Fry. Thou shalt not judge a book by its cover. Thou shalt not judge Lethal Weapon by Danny Glover. Thou shalt not buy Coca-Cola products. Thou shalt not buy Nestle products. Thou shalt not go into the woods with your boyfriend's best friend, take drugs, and cheat on him. Thou shalt not fall in love so easily. Thou shalt not use poetry, art, or music to get into girls' pants. Use it to get into their heads. Thou shalt not watch Hollyoaks. Thou shalt not attend an open mic and leave as soon as you've done your shitty little poem or song, you self-righteous prick. Thou shalt not return to the same club or bar, week in, week out, just because you once saw a girl there that you fancied that you're never going to fucking talk to. Thou shalt not put musicians and recording artists on ridiculous pedestals, no matter how great they are or were. The Beatles were just a band. Led Zeppelin, just a band. The Beach Boys, just a band. The Sex Pistols, just a band. The Clash, just a band. Crass, just a band. Minor Threat, just a band. The Cure were just a band. The Smiths, just a band. Nirvana, just a band. The Pixies, just a band. Oasis, just a band. Radiohead are just a band. Block Party, just a band. The Arctic Monkeys, just a band. The next big thing, just a band. Thou shalt give equal worth to tragedies that occur in non-English speaking countries as to those that occur in English speaking countries. Thou shalt remember that guns, bitches, and bling were never part of the four elements and never will be. Thou shalt not make repetitive generic music. 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 Thou shalt not pimp my rise. Thou shalt not scream if you want to go faster. Thou shalt not move to the sound of the wickedness. Thou shalt not make some noise for Detroit. When I say hey, thou shalt not say ho. When I say him, thou shalt not say hop. When I say he, say she, say we, say make some noise. Thou shalt always kill.
Oh my God, Spank Wagon Radio. Find us online, spankwagon.net. I'm your host, Trencher. I have no clue what mic he's on. There we go. That covered
I'm Big
all.
Daddy. I'm Big Daddy Decaf.
I'm Scrappy.
I'm Scrappy.
And I'm Scrappy. Sitting next to me, we got to keep with the continue of the minorities. We had a female construction worker. Now we have a white hip hop artist on the show, Enigma.
Hey, what's going on?
Does my mic smell like blood? What's going on, everybody? How you guys doing today?
Not too shabby.
Gorgeous weather outside, First Friday, all that good stuff going on. So
yeah, I just went by some artwork for First Friday, but don't worry about it.
You draw stick figures?
He means dime bags.
Stick figures?
No, that seems pretty good. I'm going to ask her to come on the show.
You draw?
I said I bought some art, and I do draw. Oh. Yes, I do draw, but I bought some art. But it's not my interview.
Guns.
Knives. Enigma. I met Enigma through Sun Krillin. They perform together, right?
Yeah, he's a collabo.
They did that a collabo. Word.
Krillin was in the front.
I had to throw that word
Krillin
in
was in the front, and Enigma was in the back.
What?
I said Krill was in the front, and Enigma was in the back. That's what the performance. You.
Anyway.
Yeah, Sun Krillin, he's a. He's one of my label mates. I'm on a label called Dynamically Insane. We're a relatively new hip-hop. Well, not only hip-hop. We do all types of music, all genres. We have a couple R&B and pop singers on our label as well. And we're doing big things this year. Krillin, obviously, as you know, released his album a couple weeks ago, and everybody seems to like it a lot. I'm working on my first album, and all my label mates are also doing their stuff. So, you know, our future's looking pretty bright. I'm really excited to see how 08 turns out, you know, and we're going to be sitting next to each other at the 09 Grammys, you know, just say, flipping up peace signs and pissing off all the old people, right? There you go.
How long have you been working on your label?
I've been with DI since, I believe, April or May last year. Probably, I'll say May. I've been working on my first studio album since last August, and we'll be finished, hopefully, in the next couple months and released on my birthday, August 16th this year, you know, the Adlib baby. You know, I had to throw in a little plug real quick, but and it's turning out really good. It's almost done. My first single's come out April 27th, and I planned on playing a couple of those tonight if you guys were cool with that. You know, give everybody a little taste of the new
absolutely.
Material we've been working on. So I'm really excited. DI's been taking good care of us.
God damn it. No, I'm sorry. I was in the middle. I was in the middle of recording the fucking. It said the memory card was full because I fucking.
It's like your voicemail.
Didn't take off last week because I was fucking lazy.
Bum.
And it's a small card. But anyway, go ahead.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and go to one of the tracks? And I know the tracks here are labeled all wrong on my computer.
He's like, your track's name is My Sharona?
Yeah.
And Nick was like,
no, I don't know. My computer must have a virus or something. It must have
a
virus.
Well, don't say that and give me a disc. My computer's got a virus. What?
No, that's the one thing you don't tell a person before you put them in their computer.
No, I don't know. That was really odd. I'm definitely not a cover artist at all. So that was kind of funny. I guess this first one, I've got three we can choose from. Let's go ahead and do the first track on that CD. This one was originally the title track off the album. The album changed names not too long ago. But the song is called Get Live. It's produced by Treble, who did a lot of the production on Krillin's album. And it's really feel-good track. Really fast, really like high tempo, makes you feel good, gets you in that mood for the party. So I think it'll be a good one to start off with.
All right, excellent. Track the first track.
That's right. 2008, baby. 09 Grammys. This your boy, Mr. E. D.I., baby. Check it. Yo. Woo! If you want to get live, we can do this. Most try to hold back just to prove this. Burning, you like to go and get live like a fight on HBO. So don't stress me, yo, and don't test me, bro, 'cause I'm positive proof. I'm the That's right, we G-E-T to the L to the I to the G to the E. Get locked. That's right, we G-E-T to the L to the I to the G to the E. Get locked. Everybody get locked. Say what's the boy? Get locked. Everybody get locked. Say what's the boy? Get locked. Yeah, boy, this party's on like a light switch. Sipping coke and Bacardi, that's the right mix. Get down on Lottie with a fly chick. Try humping on a honey and she likes it. Mr. E can't die for that tight spin. Making money every time that I write shit.
Now you see, I could do, I could be your backup, man. I could do, yeah.
He tried to get down on Krill's album like that,
what?
Too.
Nigga, what? What? Yeah. See, you need that.
Wow.
See that?
Just plug him in on some yes and get him to shut up.
Give him,
just turn his mic off.
25%, right?
I'm the second. I'm the second lead host.
The second lead host.
Right? My microphone don't get turned off. Yours do.
Anyway, no. What were your influences for this song?
Well, actually, I'm influenced by a lot of different types of hip hop, R&B, pop, rap, everything. You know, even rock sometimes. In this particular instance, though, I had purchased that beat and I was just like trying to express myself on that beat and I couldn't figure out how to do it. And that new Lupe Fiasco CD had just came out. And the very first track on it was called Go Go Gadget Flow. And I just loved how he brought it on that track and it inspired me. And I just wrote the entire song
in 20
minutes.
Get Light?
Get Live?
Oh, is it Live?
Yeah. Get Light? Yeah, Home Depot.
White boy rapper has to take a while. That I have to adjust.
Actually,
to the pitch.
You know, I that was very clean, very well done, very well laid out. Who produced that song?
That was Treble Productions. Yeah, Treble. Did Treble's a lot of production on the Black Costume.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of production for my album. He works with a lot of different artists around town. Obviously, Son Krillin.
Get Live!
Quez.
Yeah, let me get it right.
James Dean, myself. You know, a lot of different artists around the scene around Vegas. And in my opinion, Treble is the most underrated producer in only Vegas, good. But in the game in general. I mean, he, in my opinion, is up there with Kanye West, with your Timberlands, those kind of producers. I mean, the dude's imagination is insane. I can't understand where he comes up with half the shit he does. But
he works hard.
Treble is a man, straight up. But, yeah, so, I mean, a lot of times it just takes that little spark to cause the imagination to flare up, you know, and it just takes off, and that's kind of what happened with that track.
Well, okay. You say you purchased the beat.
A lot of producers will sell you beats, and that's what I did in this case.
Now, do they sell the beats to anybody, or once they sell it to you, it's yours?
It depends on the producer and how much they're willing, you know, how much crooked they are. You know, if a horribly whack MC comes up to them and says, I want your hottest beat, and, you know, they charge them $1,000. But, you know, in me and Treble's case, we're really good friends. You know, he hooks it up. He's not that expensive at all.
He's
not
shady.
Nah, he's really cool. Really cool guy. So, you know, he always hooks it up.
So you go into it, you purchase the beat, and then you come up with a song for it.
Sometimes I'll have an idea for a song, and then I'll just look for a beat that particularly, you know, encompasses what is that? Whatever.
In a collabo.
Potato, potato, right?
Collabo.
Blah, 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 blah. no, that encompasses.
Encompasses. That's gonna make you. You gonna make that your next song.
I'll write that down. I'll
take actually, just throw the beat, and all you hear is encompass. What? Oh yeah, now might make fun.
I might get sued by somebody, you know. like Christopher Columbus come looking for me. Encompass? What? But usually if I have an idea, I'll look for a specific beat that works with what I'm trying to think of and what I'm trying to do. A lot of other times if I need inspiration, sometimes the music will bring it out of me, and in that case that's what worked. I just heard the beat and it just worked. It was just like instant. I wrote that song in like 20 minutes. So
yeah. Have you ever totally just scrapped it, a song where you had a beat and you wrote a song to it and you just totally scrapped it totally?
For the album I'm working on now, the Ad Lib, I have written right now about 85 songs.
Jesus.
Out of those 85, I've recorded about 25, and out of those 25, I'm keeping 18 or 19. And I've still got a couple more months. I'm going to keep doing this. I plan on making about a total of 30 songs and taking from that 30 to fill out, you know, the one CD. I'm not big enough to have a two CD release yet. I'm not, no, All Eyes on Me or something like that. But, but yeah, that's a lot of the times that's what I'll do, is just keep making music. And sometimes the ideas I come up with aren't executed right, or I know I can do it better. Or sometimes just like after I finish the song, it just doesn't seem like it works as well as I originally thought. So it's just one of those things you kind of play by ear. You might think the song is extremely hot, you know, platinum, you know, number one on the billboards, and then you hear it and you're like, what the hell is this? I can't believe I just made this shit.
What question I have to, I got to know.
Okay.
Krill's opening. How could you wear so much shit?
Right? I was going to ask that,
where
too.
I
think we were all about to ask that question.
Where there's no place with no fucking air conditioning.
I actually expected y'all to ask that.
Now, was you trying to oppress the Negroes, or what?
Well, you know, sometimes you got to look good for the females. You never know, you know, who number one fan is going to be out there.
Yeah, but not really, because you take one of those females home and you're like peeling off your clothes and all sweaty.
Female. there's a sprinkle.
It was a very Vienna in that place.
Yeah, it was very Vienna.
But
do I not count?
Like I said,
you're part of the sprinkle.
Sprinkle. You know, I mean, I overestimated, you know, how important it was to look good and how unimportant it was not to be sweating.
Overestimated?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be wearing that shit outside, period.
Oh, my Lord.
It's Vegas. Like,
in the winter, you shouldn't be wearing that shit.
And then I get on stage, and I saw the pictures of when I was on stage at that show, and it looked like somebody threw a bucket of water on my face.
And the thing is, though, he didn't let it affect his performance.
No.
You know his ass was sweating his balls off, and he still went on stage and motherfucking performed like, whoa.
You didn't think your shit was going to, you didn't think he was going to show up in the crowd? You're on the stage, you like lit up, bling. That's how you see his sweaty shine.
Yeah, I definitely did not expect it to be
sweaty
that
white boy in the back rapping.
It felt like a sauna in there, man. I lost like 30 pounds.
I don't think you got 30 pounds to lose, my friend.
Nice.
But it was definitely fun. You know, just always trying to look fresh. You know, you always want to be on top of your game and always looking good. You know, you never know who you might run into.
So you were telling us about a show on April?
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to do a plug on that anyway. I'm performing at Jillian's April 27th, Sunday. I'm performing there with Mac Lethal. He's an artist on the Rhymesayers label. If you've ever heard of Brother Ali or Aesop Rock, Atmosphere, those are a couple of the artists on that label. They're really big, you know, doing songs for EA Sports. Their albums are really popular. They're really good artists, too. If you haven't heard of them, I recommend you listen to their stuff. But yeah, Mac Lethal is going to be headlining. And a buddy of mine, he's also my label mate, Anyone, he got the hookup for the show and offered it to me. And I'm not going to turn it down. I mean, this is going to be probably one of the biggest gigs, if not the biggest, that I've ever done. So, I mean, performing in front of 500, 1,000 people, I'm really excited. And it's April 27th, once again, $10. You can get the tickets from Ticketmaster, or you can holler at me on my MySpace. It's myspace.com/Enygma702, E-N-Y-G-M-A. The Y stands for Yezzer, 702. And just email me on there, and I'll even personally deliver the tickets to you. You know, I mean, I'm not too big for that, so.
Yeah, and I'll warn you right now, if you let anybody else try to spell your name, they're going to get it all wrong.
You should hear some of the people that have tried to say my name. my original CD, my first CD that I brought out, I did a last-minute collabo the day before I had to be turned in for duplication with an artist named Decompose. And we're in the studio, we recorded the song, turns out hot, and then he does a little outro, and he said, like, "Nigga Mama," or something like that.
And you didn't know it until
And I didn't know it until the album came out. So if you listen to it, which you can actually download that off my MySpace, it's not no longer available. We're pretty much focusing on the future, but it's kind of funny. Like, he's like, "Nigga Mama, you're so hot, man." What did I just say? You nice. Know, but
wow.
All right, why don't we get to another track on the music you gave me?
Okay, I've got two other ones. We got the party one. Do we have time for both?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do track two then. This particular one has a little bit of a story to it. This one is called "What You Looking Me For," also produced by Treble, and basically it's based off an experience I had in my life a couple years ago when I first started making hip hop, and I was whack. There's no way to get around it. Every rapper sucked at one point. And a really good buddy of mine used to tell me, "You're no good. You should just quit. You're wasting your time. You're white." You know, that good old stereotype of being a white rapper. You know, it haunts you. Everybody assumes because I'm white and have a high pitch voice, I'm Eminem. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of stinks. But you know, the music speaks for itself. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody, you know, judges me based off my appearance and not off the music. But anyway, basically, he hated on me the whole time, you know, saying I'm wasting my time. And now that I'm actually doing something, all of a sudden he's like, "Hey, man, what's up, dude? I need to get tickets to your show. I need to get a copy of the CD."
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, "What the hell are you looking at me for? You know, what you looking at me for, man? Go look at yourself, you hypocrite looking ass." I almost went on a cursing tour right there. But
why? This is, you can curse all you want.
I can fucking curse.
Yeah.
You can fucking swear.
Internet is fucking awesome. But anyway, yeah, so it's a pretty good song, man. This one isn't actually completed all the way. There's the third verse that still has to be written. I collaborated with another one of the artists on my label, Adrian Jones. He's also a producer. So I hope you like it. It's a great song for what it is right now, and it'll be even better on the album.
Excellent. Okay.
Collabo.
Guy, he used to tell me I was no good, that I was wasting my life, that I wouldn't amount to anything. He knew who I am, that wouldn't cover my shows, buy my CDs. Yeah, that's right. I remember you now. Now that I'm on top, now that I'm making money, I'm surrounded by my new friends, and I got the cars and the clothes and the women. You wanna get back inside, huh? Fuck that, homie. I don't forget shit. What you want? Huh? What you looking at me for? Adrian Jones. Give me a minute. Yo.
Your best back away before I start to say what's inside of me.
What you looking at me for?
Weren't you the man and threw away the chance to be beside me?
What you looking at me for?
Now I got a wife and I'm on top of the world wide to see.
What you looking at me for?
So live your regrets, I don't forget.
What you looking me for? How you feeling, my friend? I bet you're real good. So glad you're feeling 10. I hope you feel good. But the show is over and I gotta go. Up in the VIP, I hope you brought your dough. Because the bouncer's a monster. The jumps, the imposters. Without any conscience or office. Oh wait, you thought I would let you forgot what you said back in the day. But let me paint a picture. When I started all this, you said it was nonsense. Said I'm wasting my time. And now that I got it, you want to fucking solve it. The problem is nonchalant, it's all, man. So why you fronting on me, feeling yourself? You know what? Masturbate, homie, cause you're feeling yourself. See, you can keep on hating, homie, you can chill with yourself. See, I don't need you, man, I made it and I did it myself. Like what?
Get that back away before I start to say what's inside of me.
What you look at me for?
Weren't you the man who threw away the chance to be beside me?
What you look at me for?
Now I got a wife and I'm on top of the world wide to see.
What you look at me for?
So live your regrets and don't forget. It's like I'm happy.
What you look at me for? It's funny how things can change in the instant. Oh, it's like in this world there's no just a misprint. But then I'm about to wow you with this shit. Oh, no,
looking beside me, watching what you're looking me for.
Now I got the wife and I'm on top. I'm real glad to see
what you're looking me for.
So live your regrets and don't forget, cause I got family, what you're looking me for.
I'm like, okay.
That, you said that you're working on the third verse that you haven't done.
Yeah, there's still a third verse.
No, Decaf, you cannot get in on
this. What you looking at me for? What I was gonna mention is, I think the third one, I like. I love the song. I love the beat. I love the catchphrase. The hook. That's what I'm looking for. But what I think it needs. In the last part, I think it needs a lot more rapping, what you look at me for, kind of leave it out for a good 30-40 seconds. I think you just need to go off on a
tirade.
Go on a tirade.
Yeah,
and then for the last 10, 15, 20 seconds of the song, then kind of lead off to the dun. But I think for the last 40 seconds, I think you just go off and just go to town.
I feel you.
That's
actually a good idea. I never even thought of it like that.
Bring the heat, kind of.
Yeah, bring the heat because it's a
pissed off song.
No. Not saying to be pissed off, like scream it. Just straight
after the last hook, right?
After the last hook, just go out.
That's a good idea because I actually was just going to end it with that last hook and let the instrumental play out, and that's actually a good idea. I might try that.
Yeah, it just go in and then end off with the end off with something. Then bring the hook.
You know, if you use his idea, he's gonna want to get down on something. Yeah.
But I think right when you end your last rap, I think the hook should come in right in.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll mess with it a little bit. We still got a lot of time. We've got till July 1st to finish the album. So
cool. Now, one question I have is I'm noticing and I'm hearing the singing on there.
Uh-huh.
Perfectly comfortable singing?
That is not me.
That is not you?
Not me.
Okay.
I mean, I do sing, but I don't sing, if that makes any sense. My car knows I can sing.
Got it.
My shower knows I can sing.
Well, he just shared with me because I asked the same question. He's actually, you're taking singing lessons.
Yeah, but I'm not ready to be on no album or nothing yet. But that actually is my label mate, Adrian Jones. He's a producer and an artist on our label, and actually I was going originally to sing that hook, and at the last minute he was in the studio, I was like, man, just try it, and he killed it. And I was like, dude, and actually kind of on the actual mix that we're going to do for the final one, it's going to be all panned out, and there's going to be like multiple layers and lots of harmonies and everything, so it'll sound real like, whoa,
Yeah, because it was a little sharp at first when I first started playing. I'm like, ooh, but
that one's really raw. You guys are the first ones to ever hear that song. That
awesome.
Was out of the studio last week. It's still being worked on.
Jaywar in the chat room, you were just about to say, he says this is a pretty good track. So you're getting fans.
Definitely on the Jaywar.
Jaywar, what's up, man? How you doing? I appreciate the props,
He's
man.
He's in rap England, tangent. Right?
Yes.
England.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right.
That rap tangent.
Now, for time constraints, tell us a little bit about the third track on here.
The third track is definitely the hottest of the three. This is probably going to end up being one of the singles we're pitching to the radio stations. This one is produced by an artist and producer named City. Lives in Green Valley. He's an excellent young kid. Got lots of really good ideas. His production is really good. A lot more mainstream sounding. I also have my label mate Quez on Cleanup on the third verse. I'm doing the second verse on this track. Will be on my album and will also be, I believe it'll be on City's album. Not entirely sure. But it's definitely hype. It's party track, dance track. It's called Rock. And I guarantee you're going to love it. It's the shit.
All right, let me play it.
For sure.
We're back, Spank Wagon Radio. We got time for one more question.
You know what I like about his tracks, real quick,
is he brings that energy, that heat, that enthusiasm without overdoing it. Like,
yeah.
People, you know, on? Some people, huh?
Are you turned on?
Completely turned on. No, because it's clean. You can actually understand what he, well, with the exception of the white boy over here, but with the exception of Decaf over here, you can tell what he's saying. He's not putting too much in words like rock, rock. And you can't, you know, like, it's ridiculous. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, it's a lot of energy, but it's not over the top. Like, you can still feel the track, but you can still understand the track, too.
Right.
And get into the music itself. You know, I think I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
All right. Why don't we, one more time, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, how they can listen to this stuff online or whatever.
One more time. I'm Enigma. That's Enigma with the Y, E-N-Y-G-M-A. You can reach me on MySpace at myspace.com/Enigma702. Again, that's with the Y. One more plug real quick. Jillian's April 27th. Ticketmaster or come through me. $10 a ticket. Also, April 27th, new songs on my MySpace. And August 16th, the Adlib will be available in stores, hopefully. And through iTunes, CD Baby, all that good stuff. So definitely check it out. And I hope you guys appreciate the music. And I hope you guys keep supporting. It really means a lot to me.
And we appreciate you coming on to our little show. And
no problem.
Sharing some awesome music.
Real quick shout outs. D.I., my boy Ryan, Brandon, everybody over at D.I., Rose, all them. Treble, everybody, Quez, anyone, Devastate. But foremost out of all the shout outs, I got to give a shout out to Son Krillin. He has helped me stay in the game a lot. And if it wasn't for him, who knows what would have happened. I might have quit making music. You know, he's like a brother to me. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to him as well.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much for joining us. And unfortunately, kids,
we're going to be flying through this ending, aren't
we? Yeah, we're going to be flying through the outro. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio.
I've been your host, Trencher.
I'm Big Daddy Decaf.
I'm Scrappy.
And Murphy had to leave. He had an emergency bowel movement.
His dog had emergency bowel movement.
His dog had an emergency bowel movement. Hey, we want to thank a lot of people for helping us get out there on the airwaves, or at least the Ethernet waves. Big thanks to LV Rocks, LVRocks.com for studio time and space, KC Host Radio Network, Door From Hell Radio, Fox FM, Showdown.net, Steel City Radio, Nomad Radio Network, and Arrow 97 Online. And remember, if we're not live,
find us an archive.
And you can go to podcasts.lvrocks.com or just check out the Spankwagon archive to check out the really, really old shit. Enigma, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, and I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. And Tracy with the tool belt out there, thank you very much for calling in. And wow, sinister. You got to check out her MySpace, myspace.com/Tracy with the tool belt.
Looking forward to it.
And then, of course, don't forget we had in the Sinister Minister.
Sinister.
And his dragon and his woman.
His
succubus.
His sacrifice.
Succubus.
Succubus. There you go.
Succubus.
Of course, you can find him at thetnmt.com. I hope I didn't screw that up. The Midnight Massacre Theater.
I'm sure you did.
I did. I know I did.
But at least, you know, you could spell, so.
Only when I have notes. All right, again, I'm Trencher. This has been Spankwagon Radio. We will talk to you next week.
Collabo.
Collabo!